This episode of Football 301, it's the final four, and Mr. Four Verts joins me to break them all down. Charles McDonald himself. We are going to preview Seahawks, Rams, Broncos, Patriots. Awesome units, awesome players. Should be an awesome weekend of football. Very fun to dive into it with Chuck. See you guys in a sec. Hello and welcome back to Football 301. I am your host, Nate Tice. Great show for you today. We are down to the final four in the NFL. Four teams left. NFC, AFC championship games this weekend, this Sunday to be specific. And we're going to break it all down today to help me do that. Like every Thursday, Mr. Four Verts, Charles McDonald. Great to see you. I thought you had your name on your hat.
No, at first, no.
When I saw it, I was like, oh, yeah, you're losing your hat now. You need to put the name on it. But no, how you doing, Chuck? Great to see you.
Doing good. I just have to represent the old high school today, a.k.a. It's just the first thing that I saw when I got out the shower. But doing pretty good, you know, getting ready for what looks like is going to be like a storm that wipes out the East Coast or something like that. You know, we're seeing snow projections for basically the entire Southeast. Supposed to get like 9 inches of snow up here in New York this weekend. So I will be bunkered in watching these championship games for sure, because there's really nothing else to do. Nowhere else to go.
Will you be cozy maxing?
Absolutely. Okay. We'll be cozy maxing for sure. That is my big plan for the weekend. I've gotten ready for it. Done some prep. We're ready to be snowed in and do absolutely nothing. I'm just hoping the power doesn't go out. That's the only.
Yeah, that would change. That would change the cozy maxing. Yeah, that'd be cozy minning. I got some cozy max sweatbands on. I'm pretty proud of them right now. I splurged a little bit, but I was like, yeah, kind of same idea on Sunday. Although I do like a good sporting event during my cardio time, my workout time, and just to trick my brain and going like, I have a bad habit. Like when I would listen to music and do cardio, I have a bad habit of going like, oh, that's a 3.5 minute song. So I know like how long I've been going. So I like having sports on and just going like just zoning out, watching like last week, watched the Broncos whole entire first drive and then the second drive for the Bills. And I was just like, oh, my God, I already knocked off like 25 minutes. This is great. This is me on the bike, by the way. Anyone watching on YouTube, this is me on the bike. That was me doing it. But no, I think I am going to be very cozy and very excited to watch these games. We'll start with the Sunday morning brouhaha. This is the AFC. It's a 2 seed versus the 1 seed. We got the Patriots visiting Mile High, playing the Broncos. Starting Jarrett Stidham at quarterback. Bo Nix, of course, out with a broken ankle and on IR, which it's like trying to break down when that injury happened. Was like a lot of people, second to last play. What did you mean second last play of the drive? Did you mean like, you know, trying to figure out what Sean Payton meant there? But this game is at 3 p.m. East Coast time, noon West Coast time, which is perfect for Nate Tice. The spread is 4.5 Patriots on the road. So Vegas sees them as pretty significant favorites. Over under is at 42.5. We'll start when one of the road team has the ball. The Patriots offense going against a Broncos defense that has shown it's a little bit gettable as well, but still a very good defense. But what do you think about this side of the ball, Chuck?
I think it's interesting again because I think you saw last week, even though the Patriots didn't win that game, there was still a big chunk of it where it's like, okay, wow, like here's a defense that's been building for several years now versus a team that's just now kind of flipping the page with the new. Basically, they're kind of just not turning the page in the post-Belichick era now that they're established with May, because there were, I mean, most of the drives, we talked about after the game on Sunday, where Patriots had 15 drives, and on 9 of them, they didn't even get a first down. So, you know, 6 drives where you got something going. And on those 6 drives, though, like they did move the ball well, and that's when they scored the 3 touchdowns, and Drake May was really good on those 3 drives. But on the other drives, they were in 26 plays for 5 yards. And then on top of that, the Texans defense, I think just to show further like where the talent disparity was, they had 4 drives after turnovers in that game. And on those 4 drives, they gave up 17 yards over 11 plays, including a strip sack that got the ball back. So, like, there was a severe, like, talent disadvantage. Just banshees. Like, they nuked them on so many drives. But, you know, they didn't really get anything from the offense. And then you had the pick 6 on top of that. So, you couldn't even survive like the few drives that where you actually did give something up. And it just felt like, on top of the rain, obviously, which was a big factor, it kind of just felt like the talent disparity got away from them. Like, you got Will Anderson winning off the line that quickly, Danielle Hunter like bowling through guys. You know, Derek Stingley got a couple times, but even then, like most drives, there wasn't really anything going on over there. And you can, I can kind of see like something similar happening here, because it's not like the same, just like, oh, we've got 99 overall players everywhere, but the Broncos, like, they do have a deep defense. I mean, they were the team that led the NFL in sacks this year. They had 68 sacks. They've got a bunch of guys that can, you know, get after the passer. They've got obviously a well-coordinated defense. And I just think you're probably going to have more Drake May heroics, and hopefully that the defense, you know, does enough again this week where you can kind of keep that score low, because, you know, you start just like kind of piecing it player for player across from each other. You're like, man, Broncos defense is a lot more talented, which makes sense because, again, this is a defense that's been building for several years now. We've already seen them be good for several years. And I just think you're going to need Drake May to win again. You're going to need Kayshon Booty to go ahead and beat one of the best cornerbacks in the league again this week, which is going to be a tough task, but they did do it last week, and this defense isn't quite as stout as Houston's is.
I think you're stitching up Drake May's gold jacket.
On the drives, where they got a first down, he averaged 0.74 EPA per dropback. Now, that was only six drives, but still, you know,
it was like a race to two seconds. Get the ball out in 2 seconds, and it's either a great play for the Patriots or strip sack, fall down, just carnage. Chaos happening. Will Anderson, I will say, and I would even say Danielle Hunter are better than what the Broncos have, but that's not a knock on what the Broncos have. The Broncos have a lot of good, very good. Yeah. While I think maybe the Texans up front have aces, true ones, as opposed to like a lot of good, very good. And again, not a knock to the Broncos, just kind of laying it out. You saw the Patriots, you know, when they dropped back the pass, they had issues with, you know, Will Campbell going against a guy with length and Anderson. Well, that's what's Benito. Benito's got speed and length. So, all right, are they going to provide chip help to Will Campbell? They started to in the second half, and it helped him out when they attacked deep. But it was, all right, now we got to get him involved. Got to help him out, which limits how many guys you get into the routes. There's trickle-down effects to that. And that's what the Broncos do a really good job of taking advantage of that. Broncos run so many games and so much stuff, so much slanting up front. You mentioned that the Patriots receivers, you know, it's a lot of fine and pretty good. And Stephon Diggs has been very effective this year. And I would think even better out of the slot. But it is curious about, you know, the Broncos. they're pretty tough in coverage. And they got some guys that can really lock you down. And, like, I think PS2's got an advantage of anybody he goes against. It's not even just like a wash matchup. And then Riley Moss is probably equal to Diggs, you know, depending. But Moss doesn't go in the slot too much. I would say he's better than Booty, even though Booty's been good this year. And then Pop Douglas is interesting because it was like vertical slot plays can get this defense a little bit. So maybe it's Pop and maybe it's him. You've seen in games like the Saints game is one that comes to mind where they're running shot plays to him. And maybe that's how they kind of attack this defense when they do throw the ball. But what do you need to do to attack deep? Got to protect. And that's a little scary, you know, like, so it's a lot of damned if you do, damned if you don't, which I would say overall is an advantage to the Broncos, because it's not like I could point at stuff with the Patriots. I'm like, yep, this is their bona fide strength. The quarterback is, but the run game is better. It's an above average run game and you're going to have to use it and kind of just keep this, you know, train on the rails. I thought the Bills did a great job running the ball when they did. The Jaguars had success a month or so ago, again, running the ball against this team. Like, you can run and be efficient. And I actually think how the Patriots run the ball, they can be efficient. Like, they can have those natural answers is a good way to put it. Also natural answers. Since this is week 10, I'm going to be using a lot of the stats. So just when I say since week 10, that's including the playoffs. So just for people using these stats, the Broncos are 29th in the EPA versus tight ends. So it might be a Hunter Henry kind of game, which is always something that the Patriots are fine with attacking. Man coverage, May usually goes to Diggs or Pop Douglas vertically. Is it Kyle Williams vertically? Are they going to attack vertically? Or are they going to try and go slants and make them tackle? Just like, it's kind of like, I'm more curious than I'm more going like, this is what the Patriots will do, which I do think is a credit to Josh McDaniels that they can kind of get to a little bit of everything fine enough. but it's also like, you know, this is a pretty damn good defense and stuff is not going to be as pickable as maybe some of the teams they played against. The Broncos also since week 10 are 25th and EPA against scrambles. Again, man coverage. When you have all the movement up front, you can lose rush contain. And I think that's where Drake May's legs can come in as well. Like I wouldn't say like the Broncos have like a, oh my God, this is a crazy advantage. I don't know how the Patriots are going to do it. I think that was more the Texans defense going against this offense. But I do think that the Broncos overall have a little bit of advantage, but I do think May will have some answers. I'm excited to watch the side of the ball. I feel like it's going to be like three and out and then a good drive from the Patriots. Three and out and then a good drive from the Patriots. Like kind of as opposed to sustained success maybe throughout the whole game.
Yeah, I know. One thing that's going to be fun to watch if you you know, are a fan of people sacking quarterbacks is, you know, after that week and really after the whole season, you look at that Drake May stuff, you know, Vance Joseph is saying swipe for that ball when you get there because he's prone to put it on the ground. Obviously, the weather made it a lot worse last week, but including the postseason, he's got 11 strip sacks this year. That's a lot. That's a lot, pal. And, you know, some of them are like blindside hits where it gets there quick and, you know, he still loses the ball, but that same offensive line is still going to be there this week. So you might as well, I think it's going to be cool to kind of lock in on that and see if Denver really tries to go off the ball, if they're a little more aggressive because they think they can get it.
And that Benito's gotten so many kind of unblocked pressures where he just runs straight after the quarterback and gets there. So yeah, that is a thing. I think May's got good timing and kind of mitigate sacks. Like he doesn't take a lot of long sacks, but the strip thing is going to be a thing his whole career. Like that's just physics of hands. Like it just is. Like I wish I could point at a guy. Like Goff isn't bad. Like he has the same 9-inch hands. Like he isn't bad as far as fumbles, but then you could see weather affect him as well. I don't think weather affects throwing for May, but it does affect how he kind of handles the ball. And he's so aggressive with this stuff, but that's going to be a thing. I grew up Dante Culpepper. Yeah, he does. There's no perfect quarterback. There's no perfect prospect, you know, Andrew Luck. But there was, I grew up with Dante Culpepper. And Dante Culpepper, who's 6'4", 260, his kryptonite, I mean, there's a few things, but one of his kryptonite was he didn't have big hands. He had big kind of like short fingers and stubby hands. And I know this because I would snap it to him. And I was like in high school and I had bigger hands than him. I don't have gigantic hands. I have decently sized hands, but I always noticed that, and that was always the thing with him. And so ever since, that's always been in my head, the tiny hands fumble thing for a quarterback. And when May got measured in, I was like, 225, 6'4", 9-inch hands. Can't give you a 10, man. I'm sorry. Can't give you the full perfect grade. I'm sorry, but that was the one little blemish I had. I mean, I think it is going to be a thing. Just any other things here? Like I think third down will be interesting. The Broncos have been a little weaker on third down over the back half of the season. They've allowed 43% conversion rate, which is 24th in the NFL. So I really just think the base downs, how May kind of handles the pressure. He's going to get sacked a couple times, but just not turn the ball over. Obviously, that's going to be a big thing. I think the run game is going to be kind of a neutral. Like I think the Patriots will get some, but maybe not an overwhelming day. Maybe some May scrambles, some May big plays. Got to beat the one-on-ones. I think Diggs will get peppered in the slot a little bit, but I'm curious if they will travel Surtain. I've seen them do it before. They had Surtain follow Bowers and when they played the Raiders. So they will do it. I'm kind of curious how the Broncos kind of like identified this is our main threat, this is our second threat, et cetera, et cetera. But maybe a Hunter Henry day for the Patriots. All right, let's get to the other side of the ball. Jarrett Stidham starting. I'll give some thoughts on that in a second. But outside of just Jarrett Stidham starting, what do you think about the Patriots defense and the Broncos offense in this matchup, Chuck?
I think the Patriots defense has at least shown that they're not losing the matchups they're supposed to lose or they're supposed to win. When you look at the last 2 weeks, especially when you talked about the Texans offense is a little depleted, right? Also, the Chargers offense, a little bit depleted as well from their playoff game in the wild card round. At least they sort of like they can beat up on the good offense, on the bad offenses and the units that are down a few players. So, you know, I still think that their EPA numbers feel a little inflated to me just when you look at some of their performances and they're gettable. I just don't know how to feel about like Jarrett Stidham starting this game against defense that has at least shown like they'll beat up an offense that is down some of their best players. It's a tough spot to walk into, man. Like, hasn't played a regular season game since 2023. Let's walk into the AFC Championship game against the Patriots defense. That is like, it's solid. Maybe it's probably a little better than I give it credit for. I just kind of struggle to see a spot where are we confident enough in the Broncos offense where we can project victory? Because like ideally you'd hope they'd be able to run the ball, but they haven't been getting that much out of it. They've got a weird split on their rushing stats since like week 10. They're 28th in EPA per rush, but they're 6th in success rate. So, you know, they're also getting 3.6 yards per attempt. So it's kind of like what the Chiefs were doing last year where, you know, we got high success rate. We're chipping away 3 yards at a time, but it's not really scaring anyone. So like if New England can shut that down, a run game that's been struggling, or, you know, at least keep the explosives away. Oh, I just don't like the idea of you got your backup quarterback who's like cold off the bench, just kind of dropping back and fired in there. I don't want to like just throw this away entirely, but that's such a big loss. Like, and even when Bo was having his moments where he struggled, and you know, last week he was not good. Like, he had the one drive before he got hurt, but outside of that, he played pretty poorly. He still like gives you something with the athleticism where you can kind of keep a second play alive. This is just such a tough spot, but maybe Sean Payton's got something for him. Maybe he can figure out a way to kind of get this run game going, get some explosives back. It got some guys with some juice. But yeah, I don't know. Jared Stidham, I'm not there.
I watched his preseason. I've never been like a Jared Stidham guy. I remember when he was in New England and people were like, oh yeah, he's going to start over Cam Newton. And I was like, no, he's not. that was my rebuttal. No, he's not. I think Stidham is a fine, good, high-end backup. I wouldn't say, you know, if I kind of like paint that group, that's what, Marcus Mariota, Jacoby Brissett. I think he's a little bit worse than that, but kind of like he's better than freaking, what's his name, Heinicke, which is just every college runaround quarterback ever. I compare every runaround white guy to Heinicke. You're on the Heinicke tier. Jackson Dart, you're Heinicke plus. Like, you know, if you're a runaround white guy, you're a Heinicke to me. Stidham will keep it in the pocket. Like, he actually, I keep using the term, like he'll keep the train on the rails. And I think he can do that. He'll throw some trick shots, which will get him in trouble. But also, like, he can open up a little bit more. I think him... I have kind of a thing about blitzes, but I do think that he is going to be more solid than people think, but I'm not projecting anything. I'm not saying a Nick Foles run here, nothing like that. I don't think he's just outright bad. Like, I don't think this is like, oh my God, we're starting this guy in the playoffs, TJ Yates in the playoffs. I think it's more just like, yeah, he's fine, whatever. He can keep it on the rails. I do think that he won't be as creative as Nick's as far as like moving outside the pocket. And that's why I'm curious is if Sean Payton continues to use so many movement throws. I think he'll find some more opportunities than Nick's does, because Nick sometimes kind of washes, like it's kind of a wash. He can create some and mitigate sacks, but also he'll turn down some throws to escape the pocket. So it's kind of like Stidham might provide more from the pocket, but provide less creation, might take some more sacks. The thing that's curious to me though, and I brought this up last week, is the Broncos offense without Luke Wattenberg, especially against the blitz, because they were one of the better teams against the blitz this year, and just overall, just one of the better offensive lines. And ever since Alex Forsythe has been in there at center, and he got banged up last week. And from our guy Sam Mustipher comes in at center, I was like, oh my God, Mustipher's playing center in the playoffs. Amazing. I think you and I might be two of the only people that know who Sam Mustipher is, and Bears fans that had watch him for years. But yeah, yes, yeah, but. Wasn't not who you want starting at offensive line in the playoffs. So, but Forsythe did practice limited. He was limited, but I'm bringing this up because against the blitz, there has been a drop off for the Broncos. Again, these are Bo Nix stats as well, but it's the eye test matches. Forsythe was getting beat last week. Your guy, Deion Walker, looked really good actually last week. But also just sometimes he's a little late with some of the, you know, a lot of blitzes. There's a lot of moving parts up front, a guy crossing face. And he's like, a little slow with that. I just kind of noticed this. Yeah, just eye test. I kind of noticed that. But stat-wise, like 41 dropbacks against the blitz this year when Forsyth has been out there, when Wattenberg's been out. This is including playoffs. They've allowed two sacks on 116 dropbacks against the blitz with Wattenberg. They allowed two sacks. So that's just one stat. 46% success rate with Wattenberg out there, which is 15th over the full season. Without Wattenberg out there, 39% passing success rate against the blitz, which is 27th for the full season, only above the Steelers. Rodgers was nothing against the blitz this year. Browns, Vikings with McCarthy, Jets, and Titans with Cam Ward, rookie quarterback. The EPA per dropback goes from 0.29 to 0.12. Net yards per attempt goes from 0.67, which is like 14th, I believe, to 6, which is 24th. Again, Bo Nix was on the field for these plays, but I do see something when I watch this Broncos team. It is a thing now. I saw a little bit of it last week, but going against, I know I'm going to go on for a while, but I have an overarching point for this. The Patriots, since their bye week, which is week 14, and since the back half of the season, so since week 10, have been one of the most blitz-happy defenses in the entire NFL. Since week 10, they're second in blitz rate on third and fourth down, late downs. They're first in explosive play rate allowed in a good way, third in EPA per play, and third in EPA per pass. Second in passing success rate, 27.7%. 3.2 net yards per attempt. Their cover zero rate has doubled. And since their bye week in week 14, they've been the most blitz-happy team on late downs in the NFL. And what has been the story of the Texans and the Chargers games? O-line can't handle the pressures. Quarterbacks are just, their heads are exploding. And now you're going against a backup quarterback with a backup center. Don't think that's going to slow down for the Patriots. Like, I do not. I think they're going to turn that dial even more. We might get to Todd Bowles, 55. Steve Spagnuolo, 65% blitz rate on late downs. But that is kind of the crux of this side of the ball to me and what I'm focusing on. I know I just talked for a while, but I just had to bring that up because I just think it's so interesting. I think exactly what this Patriots defense is going to hone in on.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see like what answers Sean finds.
Yeah.
Like if there's a way like just to get try and get like their running backs going a little bit more than they have. Because one thing that kind of jars me every time I look at it is Bo Nix leading the NFL in passing attempts by like a decent margin too. You obviously don't want to get into that game with your backup quarterback. And you know, it feels like you should have like enough talent up front to not get like steamrolled by the Patriots defense. Like they've got some dudes up front, but mm-hmm. you know, it's not like that should be an impossible challenge for the Broncos offense, but they just haven't gotten enough out of the rushing game recently. I think one interesting split is since week 10, they're 15th in yards before contact per rush, but dead last in yards per rush after contact. So,
okay.
You know, kind of see like the small, like because they got some small guys in there right now, and I think you see that. Mm-hmm. So maybe you try to get them in space and get them going, because obviously it's gonna need to be like a total group effort to try and punch this through and get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the Patriots are kind of weak defending the run on third and fourth down too, so I could see maybe that. Hey, you want to get into these blitz looks? All right, we'll just run it on you. I agree. The Broncos offensive line is big and burly, and that's what Sean Payton likes. He invests in the offensive line, and you can feel it even with the center out. J.K. Dobbins, I think, practiced this week, which could be significant. R.J. Harvey's got a little more juice, but Dobbins is a little bit more sound. Doesn't bounce runs as much, better in pass protection as well. So that's interesting as well as maybe something that'll help that out. The Patriots defense, since their bye week, again, it was week 14, including the playoffs, they haven't played a ton of awesome offenses, I'll admit. They faced Josh Allen, the Bills, Lamar Jackson / Tyra Huntley and the Ravens, the Jets, the Dolphins starting, what's his face, from Texas, Quinn Ewers, Justin Herbert, and that Chargers O-line, then Stroud without receiver one, tight end one, right tackle. I don't know if anyone knows that. CJ Stroud was out, his receiver one, his tight end one, his right tackle, and it was raining, you know, but he's awful. Don't extend him. Trade him. Play Davis Mills, who had bottom five stats this year.
So yeah, that's what people go.
Yeah, I'm buying all the CJ Stroud stock. I'm buying it all. Buying it all. I can't believe people are off on him. I get it. I saw the games too, guys, but I also saw a lot of good stuff. He just got to hone some stuff in. And you know, his circumstances aren't amazing on that offense. But anyways, but the Patriots defense over that time period, been 11th in success rate, first in net yards per attempt allowed, fourth in EPA per play, third in EPA per pass, don't allow a ton of explosives, about average against the run. and they've been bad against 21 personnel. So I think that's the Sean Payton 21, muck it up, create a bunch of third and shorts, maybe run it again on third and shorts. But I could see a big, heavy personnel, I formation, and just pound the rock against this defense. They're 28th in yards before contact per rush since week 10. So just muck it up, really. I mean, you have a backup quarterback. Sean Payton's going to have his shot plays. He's going to design some stuff. This isn't his first go around. I've seen him. Drew Brees was hurt the 1 year, and I think Teddy Bridgewater started. I've seen James Winston in this offense start and him put together some really complete game plans, especially when he has a quarterback that can handle it mentally. And I think Stidham can. So it's not like a abomination. They have no shot, but I do think that like they're going to have to really muck it up on this offensive side to kind of like, it's a team game in this matchup, very much a team game. All right. Final predictions. Like I said before, the spread is the Patriots -4.5.
Oh man, I'm gonna go with the Patriots, I think. I'm just gonna go with the better quarterback.
It's kinda how it's like nothing else is like I understand the Broncos defense is still pretty dang good. I'm still going with May, and I'm still gonna go with the Patriots as well. And I think they cover. But I will say I don't think Stidham's gonna be an abomination where people are like, wow, they had no shot. I think he'll just be fine. That's kind of how I'm looking at it. I think Sean Payton's good with this stuff. And it's not Stidham's first year in the offense. Like they're going to have more layers to the offense than a simplistic bootleg, screen. There'll be some of that, but I do think there'll be more real football or real offensive game plan from the Broncos. So,
it's going to be three picks, five sacks, and this is going to be
I know. And then everyone just... I keep going. I think he's going to surprise some people. And it's like, why am I even putting my name out on this?
I don't know.
I'm already getting yelled at online for saying CJ Stroud's a top half of the league starter. I don't know why I'm bringing this up that Stidham might be fine on Sunday.
Neither do I. I'm not doing it.
With Stroud? Stroud's not top. Like, Stroud, even top
Stroud,
16?
Stroud, yeah. Stroud.
Okay, I mean, not
yeah,
Stidham.
Not Stidham. I mean, there's just so little of a game there because he's not like he's going to start next year. So.
That's why I'm like, I'm not predicting anything with this. I'm not doing a fool's runs coming, nothing. You're not getting me on that. Not aggregating it. I just think he'll be okay. All right, but I still think Patriots win. All right, well, kind of bummed. You know, I wish Knicks were starting. I want these teams to go fully, you know, full at it. And I kind of will say that put a little damper on this, especially since we didn't think he'd be hurt. And then also it was announced after the game. So yeah, that's just my one little bummer, one little caveat, but still it's NFL football. It's the playoffs. It's still going to be a great game. All right. We're going to take our first break and we'll come back with the NFC side of the ball for the third matchup between the Rams and the Seahawks. See you guys in a sec. All right. We are back. This is the Sunday night game, 3:30 West Coast time, 6:30 East Coast time, where Chuck is at. Hopefully warm, cozy, with power working, so he doesn't have to trek to a bar or something. It doesn't
yep.
A bodega. Maybe the bodega will have a game on. Bodegas feel like they never close. I feel like those things are going to like – it's like Waffle House in the South. Like people – they like the government can truly look at like how – electricity and things are functioning based on whether Waffle House is open or not. Same with the like bodegas in New York City.
All day, every day, they are open. Yes.
You said you got recognized one recently, didn't you?
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, I've been living in the same spot for almost 6 years now, so I know just by everybody in my neighborhood. I've got a few people who listen to the show. It got our own little pocket of support out here in Brooklyn.
Nice. Yeah, Brooklyn and where our friend Keegan took us in LA. We got like the one bar that we got recognized three times at, and I've never been recognized again in LA or anywhere. I've only been recognized like once in Vegas ever. Doesn't matter. Sunday night, 6:30 Eastern, 3:30 Pacific time. The Seahawks are 2.5-point favorites. So Vegas is looking at this as essentially even. The over-under is 47 points. You gotta remember the Seahawks defense. Pretty good, if anyone's been paying attention. We're going to start with when the Rams have the ball against that tenacious Seahawks defense. And this is our Hoss Fight of the Week. And actually, you know, good note, Stone. Might be Hoss Fight of the Year between this Rams offense. Fully healthy Rams offense going against this Seahawks defense, which is more or less fully healthy as well. So when you're focusing on this side of the ball, Chuck, what you got? Because there's a lot to pick at here. A lot of good players, a lot of good scheme. This one could be fun.
Oh, man. I've been a little concerned by the Rams, like, recent performance, I guess, over a month. Because I think there's something like happening in these games that is, it's almost impossible to predict, but it's been a consistent theme in their past month of games. At some point, Stafford gets tweaked up with something, whether it's a hand or a back or a shoulder, and it all falls apart, like, immediately. Because, you know, they play such a, like such an aggressive, like, offense in terms of, like, their passing style that requires a lot of precision. And when he's off his game and those passes are kind of flying all over the place, they kind of have fallen into ruts at times. Just over the past month, all of their, like, the first downs per drive, yards per drive, points per drive, it's all fallen down to, like, just above average territory instead of the absolute flamethrowers that they were for basically the entire rest of the season. And it's just like, I guess where I've been looking at it is, you know, if Stafford can get through this game without, you know, getting dinged up again, then I don't really think there's any reason to expect that the Rams offense will be awful or, you know, really struggle again, because even in the most recent game that they played, Stafford was great until he took a hit in, like, the second quarter, third quarter, got banged up, and then was missing wildly for a good chunk of that game until until the fourth quarter. I think we started to get it together a little bit. But Seattle's defense, like, not hitting you and not banging you up, like, I don't think that's a realistic standard to have. So I guess I just want to see, like, if they try to do anything to mitigate that, because to me, that's been, like, it's kind of been, like, the only real problem with their offense, but it's a big problem to have. Like, if he's going to start missing throws and not being able to be, like, the precise player that he needs to be, that's where things can go off the rails. Because I mean, man, like, the Panthers defense is not good. And in that most recent wildcard game, like, they gave him a chance a little bit because he was off his game. And then the Bears game last week, you know, a lot of throws where you're looking like, man, like, what is going on here? Like, I know you're more accurate than this. I know you're a better quarterback than this, but he's just been kind of off the past month. And Seattle has not been off at all. Like, they're on top of all of it. Like, they're
quite
the opposite.
Quite opposite,
like,
I would say.
Yeah, as far away from off as you can get. I mean, just look at their stats, like, over the past month, like, in the same time frame, 3.5 net yards per pass attempt, 3.6 yards per play, minus 0.45 EPA per dropback. And this is against, like, the 49ers twice, where that was a top three offense over, like, the majority of the season this year. Man, it kind of feels like they're, like, it's not like the Rams, like, fully trending down, but it feels like they're trickling down a little bit, while the Seahawks, like, they're blowing through the roof right now on defense.
Yeah, the Rams they feel a little less perfect, where I was watching them against some offense. Like, the game that I think that's sticking out for me with the Rams offense, and whether this is fair or not, is when they played the Lions, where it was just like everything worked. Just running, chucking it, everybody scoring touchdowns. Like, I don't know, it just felt like one of those performances where I was like, oh man, this is one of the best offenses I've seen. And yeah, they feel a little more mortal, which is how it goes. The end of the season, you're playing tougher opponents, all that stuff. But like you said, it wasn't like the Panthers defense is amazing. I understand the Panthers offense giving the Rams defense some issues. We talked about kind of their player weight and other things. Like, there's some stuff that they could pick at, but the offense should be kind of like the driver of everything. I mean, that's Stafford's winning MVP. Like, yeah, he's the MVP candidate. The run game is, again, I got to repeat the stat, the best run game we've seen this millennium, if you're just looking at running back rushing success rate. And yeah, so I think the finger thing, him just taking those one little blow. Yeah, it's always like, it feels like a initial drive is great. He gets hit once and then there's some tapering off, and then he cranks it back up and hits some hero shots at the end of the game. That's kind of like, feels like the Rams flow. What's nice, and not nice sometimes, is that they played each other already twice, like, as far as just looking at repeated matchups. But then it's like, you don't want to extrapolate too much from those previous matchups, because it's like they change and there might be different figures in there, but you also kind of have to look at it. And the Rams did hold the Seahawks defense did hold the Rams offense to like a pretty rough running game the first time they played. I remember that time, the first time they played, it was like situations in the opening drive was when the Rams run game worked. Like third and one, red zone, as opposed to the flow of the game I always talk about, which is in between the 20s, technically the -8 to the +20. But in between those and then first and second down. That's why I always look at those stats. That's why I call it the flow of the offense. And it felt like they had run game wise some issues in that first matchup. And then the second matchup, they were hitting big plays. And what was curious to me, it was they're hitting big plays that I see other offenses try to do against the Seahawks defense, but they don't do it. And then here's the Rams popping off for, and Puka Nacua, because Devontae Adams didn't play their last matchup. Puka Nacua had receptions of 54 yards, 58 yards, 27 yards, and 41 yards. His air yards on 16 targets averaged 10.69 yards. He put up 19 receptions for 10 first downs and 300 yards in their first two matchups. And I was looking, I was like, I watched them all back. Great. Is there like something they did? Like how, why were they able to get these in breakers? And then I watched the 49ers running similar high lows and they're just getting clamped down on. One, Stafford's going to push the ball a little further, like, because he has that arm and he also has the cojones to do so. They were really attacking Ernest Jones in coverage as opposed to the hook players. And when I say hook, think slot. That's Amanawori and Witherspoon at times in this defense. And that's where I saw those guys popping off against the 49ers, running underneath stuff, taking everything away. And then when I watch back these games, the Rams are running like it was like some early down plays, like first and second down. They're running what's called a dagger concept, which is a seam and then a dig behind it. And this is the difference of like I try to make it simplistic sometimes, but this is why football is amazing, because you can like kind of like dive deeper and deeper into things and find more and more. There's different types of dig routes. So there's basics. That's literally what it's called. A basic, which is a 14 to 16 yard dig, usually from the tight end or the slot. So an interior dig. And then there's deep digs, which is 18 to 22 yards. And that's what you see usually beat cover two on the backside. That's what you see on dagger concepts, more downfield. So one is the 5-step variety and one is the 7-step variety as far as the quarterback drop. The deep digs is what the Rams were hitting, not the basic digs that the 49ers were trying to get to. And this matters. This is what I'm pulling at here. This is the thread I'm pulling at. And they kept, why that worked was because rather than getting the hooks involved, that became Ernest Jones's coverage guy or coverage area or responsibility. And they kept getting him with it, where he's trying to look in the middle and run back. That's not his strength of his game. He's good going forward and shoring things up. Him turning back, that's not what you want. And that's what the Rams took advantage of, especially as the second half went along. And also they were hitting a lot of stuff like, it wasn't very dinky-dunky. It was very like shot play, play action, digs, wheel routes, Terrence Ferguson, post routes, corner routes. He hit a post route to Xavier Smith, who I think might have a moment in this game, where they try this really top-down defense. You have to beat it over the top. So I do think that the Seahawks defense is incredible. It's one of the most fun defenses I've watched because of just how clean they are and how well everybody plays together. But the Rams, I think, have a couple answers. Like, yeah, you have to run the ball. Hopefully you get that going. But passing game-wise, I think it's going to be – I don't want to say full-out boom-bust, but I think Stafford's going to be launching some I think this is going to be a lot of 15 or 20 yards down the field over and over and over again. I that's how I'm viewing this side of the ball, at least.
Better keep them upright then.
That's it.
It's one hit every game that knocks them out for like – 2.5 quarters.
You're right.
It's a long time against Seattle's defense. Hopefully they're just, you know, maybe a little bit sturdy up front or just trying to find ways to mitigate that because, even like over the past month, like they've fallen to 20th in terms of percentage of drives without a first down.
Interesting.
Like that's not where you usually have seen this defense and or seen this offense, excuse me. And it does feel like they've been a little bit more boom bust than consistently just raise you down like they were for just about the entire season. And like we said before, Seattle's defense is getting better. Like the basically from the first drive in that 49ers game last week when they tried the pitch on that fourth down and they snuffed it out. We were like, oh, this is over.
Game opening over. Script is shut down like that. Oh yeah, God. Yeah. Good.
God bless you, man. And they do everything well. They have a ton of good players. Like their defensive line is playing out of its freaking mind right now. Like Leonard Williams, DeMarcus Lawrence, Byron Murphy, even Nuoso on the edge, like those guys are all just complete ass kickers. And I think like the interior or the first three guys that I named, like those are just some of the flat out like best defensive linemen in the league. And they all play right next to each other. So it's going to be a monster, but like they're talented enough to do it. You know, I it's just, you know, like you said, can you hit those big shots and can you keep Stafford upright? Because those are like the two biggest things that I think are that matter for the Rams in this game. Because we'll get to it. I'm a little leery of their defense where they're at right now. So I think they need to have Stafford have a big game.
Yeah, before I hop over there, I'm with you. I think the run game. I think this is my best way to too long didn't read it. I think the run game's a wash. I think the Rams run offense versus the Seahawks run defense is a both will have moments, but one doesn't have a clear advantage. One of the best run games we've seen, but against an amazing run defense that plays out two high boxes. Because like you said, they have just dudes up front. They have a member of every archetype. They have like the variety pack of front seven guys. It's really, I'm kidding, but I'm also dead serious when I say that. It's like, all right, we need a plugger. Okay, we've got Leonard Williams. Okay, we need a nose that can eat up double. Okay, we got Byron Murphy. Okay, we need the bendy guy. We got Nwosu. Okay, like we need the guy that's going to cave people's heads in. All right, we got Derek Hall and DeMarcus Lawrence. Like, you know, they just have every type of guy that you need. And that's what's really fun about this defense, because they got a defense coordinator with his kaleidoscope scheme that can kind of just go, okay, this offense is weak against this. This is what we'll do. I will say, last week is McClendon kind of got picked on a little bit. Last couple weeks, I would say, at right tackle. Messing with his eyes a little bit. So curious, that was more a Panthers game. And also the Panthers had some success, and I keep bringing this up, was the Green Dog stuff. Adding on pressures, just trying to, maybe not getting hit on Stafford, but he has to get rid of the ball in 2.5 seconds. And that's hard to attack downfield and be accurate, because you have to throw with anticipation down the field. Yeah, he can do it. These receivers can do it. But you just kind of limit the room for error. When you do that. So maybe some things on recent film that I can look at, not that McDonald truly needs it. And the last thing, I'm like, oh yeah, just chuck it deep. The Seahawks since week 10 are first in success rate on throws of 15 more air yards. They allow a 30.5% success rate, and they're second in EPA per play on deep pass throws. So yeah, it's not like it's the best thing ever that you can go against this defense. Maybe some tight end targets down the field or slot targets down the field. I think that's what maybe I'll look at. All right, let's get on to the other side of the ball. Seahawks offense versus Rams defense. So you said maybe some Rams stuff that you're kind of maybe squinting at a little bit, maybe some smelliness coming maybe from the Rams defense or something like that. But what you got, Chuck?
Yeah, I just kind of feel like they've hit the point where the talent level, like the actual talent level is showing up. Because, you know, over the first half of the season, like they were one of the best, like flat out defenses in the league. I was like, man, like, yeah, I'm looking at their depth chart. I'm like, I've watched Nate Landman play for the Falcons, you know? I was a little surprised when he got Manuel that contract extension. I've seen Emmanuel Forbes play before. You know, Cam Curl was a solid addition, but most of the other guys, like, yeah. You know, if you can squeeze something out of this, like that'd be impressive. And then they were, you know, almost the number one defense over the first half of the season. Since then, not quite so much. They've fallen back down to, you know, about maybe average territory, maybe a little below average. And we've talked about this with the Vikings before, but like this is where it's tough. Like, but you don't have basically you need Jared Verse to just kind of black out every game. Is what some of these games have turned into, which is that's a tall ask. And we've seen with the Vikings, when you don't have like many stars, it has to be like game plan, like so meticulously. And like, they're still doing a pretty good job. Like they, it's not like the bottom has totally fallen out on this defense, but now that we're in the portion of the season where you're seeing like the best that you're going to see every week. Leaving some room to be desired. Like even last week against the Bears, they held the Bears to 17 points, but the Bears had 40 yards per drive. They were moving the ball pretty well. They got explosive plays. They just, you know, turnovers killed you, and you couldn't quite convert in spots that you needed to. It's a tough way to play each week, but also like there's no really other answers. Like if your problem is personnel, okay, well, it's the NFC Championship game. Nothing you can do about that right now. So right.
There's no December draft.
Yeah, this is kind of it.
And, early enrollee.
Yeah, like where I get scared is like, to me, like one of the biggest problems about this defense is you've got the worst combination of like small and slow at the same time. Like you got good players, but you're not big, you're not fast. And it kind of shows on some of these plays where teams are able to like run the ball on them and march down the field. And like they'll get like some of the penetration plays, but it's not really like a sturdy, it's not really like the most sturdy defense. And what's interesting is like since week 10, like they rank fifth in like successful play rate on rushing attempts, but they're down the 18th on EPA per rush. So they're like, maybe you don't get them every play, but the times you do, they can get gashed. And I think that's where you might see like Kenneth Walker have, you know, some of his patented plays where, you know, it's not always the cleanest with him, but when he has that crease and we can see it, man, he can really get out of there and he's tough to tackle in open space. So I think just kind of like that physicality might be a problem for the Rams because, like I said, just not the most talented defense out there. And at some point, that's really just going to come back and bite you.
Yeah. And I have to correct myself. I said 49ers for some reason. Bears, who the Rams played last week. That's who they were attacking was McClendon with all those saw blitzes. But I have to, that's a big thing. They got him with the blitzes. But yeah, Rams defense. So this is week 10 again, including playoffs, all that stuff. They've kind of fallen off. I agree with you. The first half of the season, I was like, hey, man, like Chris Shula has deserved all the hype he's gotten this year. Like he's gotten the most out of this group. But I think the second half of the season is what they really are, as opposed to what we saw in the first half of the season. And again, you can look at full season, they're top 10 and everything, you know, top 10 this, top 10 that. But I look at the second half of the season, it's like they're 17th in passing success rate. That feels about right to me. 14th in explosive passes. Yep, that feels more right. More like an average pass defense that gets the most out of their guys, as opposed to top five, which they were. Eye test and stats. Like I kept going, like, I don't know if I believe this, and they just kept performing. But tape comes out. I have noticed that Shanahan offenses, the 49ers game is the one that stands out to me. They played like a month or two ago. They played twice this year in the same division, all that. But the one that stands out to me, so it was in San Fran. So whichever week that was, they just kept hitting all these inbreakers on them. And that stood out to me. But then I kept watching the Rams defense. And then sure enough, inbreakers, condensed formations and inbreakers. Seahawks, I brought this stat up last week against the Bears offense against this Rams defense. They had the most condensed or one of the most condensed formations. This is one of the worst defenses against condensed formations. Seahawks run condensed formations even more than the Bears do. And that's how you can get those dual inbreakers and get the high lows. But you attack kind of the leverage. If you look at a Rams defense, they'll have five up front, one guy in the middle, and then the DBs kind of play like a shell, like truly like outside in on the outsides and then top down on the top by the safeties. It's truly just trapping everything inside. And if you can start figuring out ways, high lows and switch routes, you know, where guys switch release on stuff, can really get after them. So it's just a more gettable defense. The big thing though is, can you pressure Sam Darnold? That's really what it's going to be. If you pressure Sam Darnold, you have a real shot because you can get turnovers, you can get sacks, you can get big plays for the defense. They've been in pressure rate, I believe they've been like second in pressure rate, but not getting a lot of sacks.
Yeah, their pressure sack rate is super low, but they got a lot of pressures.
25th in sack rate since week 10, second in pressure rate. That's like, you know, and I get that because they do some funky stuff. They get some unblocked pressures and maybe the ball gets really quick and because you have a throw, like that can happen when you have guys that are more, usually like I've looked at like Saints defenses from when Dennis Allen was there, where they'd always be like low on sacks and knockdowns, but high on pressure. Or I could be wrong here, but one of the things where it's because they just push the pocket. And so they might not get the actual knockdown, but they're trying to make the quarterback feel just, yeah. That's kind of what you want to do against Sam Darnold. You want Sam Darnold to feel, eh, you know, that's how you get him. And I think that's really, I hate to sound so simplistic, but that's where what I'm looking at and what I think is the big thing for the Rams defense is how you create pressure on them. They've done it before. Different offense. I know the Vikings are a different team, but like you can get him. The big thing for me is Zach Charbonnet's out, who's their protection running back for the Seahawks. George Halani, I believe, is practicing, was on IR a little bit. He's got some stuff to him as a runner. Pass protection wise, I'd be lying if I said I could grade him, but that matters because Kenneth Walker, eye test, just years and years from college to now, not good in protection. He has bad eyes. He's bad at sustaining. He'll maybe, if he's confident, he'll pop a guy, but he's bad at sustaining. He gave up a sack last week. And the Rams, how they run their front, it's more just attacking the offensive line. I guarantee you they'll attack the right guard all day, every day. The entire game, the right guard's going to get attacked and picked and all this stuff. But that doesn't really threaten the running back, you know, because you're just offensive line has the five guys across from them. So I'm curious, earlier in the season, I saw Shula doing, like, when they played the Texans, who had bad pass protection backs, they really attacked him and tried to make him wrong. So do they use more of that? You know, like, is that, as opposed to five across, they do something to kind of manipulate the back, not let Walker get out in coverage or on a route, attack him when he does have to pass protect? Because I think that is a key. Attack the running back in protection, and one of them will pop. That is a big play for the Rams. The Seahawks also have injuries to the left tackle. Charles Cross is day-to-day with a foot injury. Josh Jones has a knee injury. And then Amari Knight, or I think it's Knight or Kite, K-I-G-H-T, also has a knee injury. So, yeah, but Cross, I think, will play. But still, have to freaking left tackle. Just got an extension, not playing. Yeah, definitely something to look at as well. Seahawks offense, though, the run game's gotten going. Not having Charbonnet does hurt, but Helani is actually pretty solid. Can kind of do enough run game-wise. They've had some creativity formationally. They did in the Week 16 game where they played, and also last week where they're, you know, like JSN's in the backfield or they're switching guys' roles around. Kind of a nice way to maybe change up against this defense that wants to kind of like tee off on your tendencies. So there's some fun thought going on to this side of the ball because both these teams are units are good, but they're imperfect. And I think that's very, very fun when we get to playoff time.
One last thing that I'm looking at for this game, late down passing for both of these teams has been they've kind of gone in opposite directions. Where since Week 10, the Seahawks, they've been one of the worst late down passing teams in the league. 24th EPA per dropback, they lead the league in interception rate on late down dropbacks since Week 10, and the Rams lead the league in interception rate on defense on late down dropbacks since Week 10, 7.3%. They've gotten 8 interceptions. The Seahawks have thrown 5. But when you rate it out, Seahawks last in the league in interception rate on late down passing. Because, you know, like, we see Sam, like, he's talented, right? But he's prone to crapping out and doing some really dumb things. All the time. Like, it's probably the most frustrating thing about him, because it's like, dude, you were obviously talented enough to be one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Yep.
You know, just flat out. But there's just some block there that's not letting him fully access, you know, the God-given talents that he has as a thrower. So that's probably a spot where, you know, maybe we see the game flip where just a high leverage down and they've coming after him and They get their hands on the ball, because that's one thing that they've been good at this season. And, you know, turnovers can be hard to predict. But I think I don't think it's a slight to say they'll have a few chances probably to get their hands on the football in this game.
Right. And that really is what it feels like, though. Like a third. Darnold's been one of the worst on third and long this year. The Seahawks are 31st, and so third and long is 7 yards or more to go on third down, and they are 31st in conversion rate on third and long. Actually makes a lot of sense. It's a very much the most Shanahan Kubiak offense, period. It's a team designed to win on first and second down, and once they get the third down, it's like, hopefully we get it. Yeah, hopefully we get it. Like, that's really what it gets to. I had the stat last week. Oh, wow, the Chiefs are dead last. Third and long conversion rate. 17.3% of their third and longs. And again, the Rams have allowed shorter third downs as the season has gone along, so that does help out. But again, if you get pressure on Darnold, and that's why it's so huge to bring it up, is if he takes a sack, the stat I came across last week was his air yards on the play after he takes a sack is 1.1. Because if he takes a sack, the Kubiak just goes, unplug him, throw a screen, or we're handing the ball off. So you get a sack, drive over, like a true drive over. It's not like a Drake May drive. Like, Drake May gets sacked, the next play, he's chucking that thing to try and get it all back. Darnold, they just say, no, don't make a bad play. Don't make a bad situation even worse. For better or for worse, Darnold can come back from it. Like, he does have that cornerback mentality where he watched the Texans game where he's backed up after having a turnover and he's chucking it. But again, that can lead to spiraling depending on what's kind of going on. Or he's a shooter. Shoot or shoot. He's going to shoot you out of it or he's going to just bury you. So it's up to, you know, the defense to kind of make him feel like he's about to get buried and kind of pile on top of that.
So I just looked at pressure drop back since week 10 on late down passing. And it's in a messed up way for Seattle, good way for the Rams. These stats kind of mirror each other. They both have a 12% interception rate under pressure on late down passing, both 3% explosive pass rate, both about the same, sack rate, which is going to be high because these are pressure plays, but, that's about around 20%. So, you know, it's not good. Like when the green and the red are about the same number, because you don't want to be 12% interception rate under pressure, like on these critical downs, but you do if you're the defense. You don't want to be 3% explosive pass rate on these critical downs because when you need a play, but you do if you're the defense. So it's gonna be interesting. Also, when they're under pressure, obviously this is low, but Sam Darnold ranks, or the Seahawks offense, they rank 28th in third and long conversion at 7%, and the Rams are top five. So if they can get pressure on them, it's doable, which they can do. Like Jared Verse, it's like,
yeah,
I don't know where people like rank Verse like edge rushers, but he's like knocking on the door of being an ace because he can really take over some of these games, man. Like I think that ended up being a pick that was a big, big boom for them. And you kind of look back and you say, obviously the Super Bowls were worth it, you know, but if you had a couple of our first round picks on this defense,
you know, look where it would be.
You know, yeah. That's where you start to see the talent. Yeah, it was worth it. Totally worth it. But
no, yeah. Versus to me, yeah, versus like a low end one. What I like about it is that he plays a run and pass. So, you know, but I agree. Like an ace to me is the high ends. Like, and I agree. He's like right on that cusp of it. Like just, you know, like a tier two guy, yeah. But a one, if that makes sense. And I think Byron Young is like a high end two that drops into coverage, does a bunch of stuff for him too. And then, you know, Kobe Turner as well. I think they're going to pick at the right guard the entire game. Just look for the right side of the Seahawks offensive line and look for a lot of movement with the Rams. They'll probably do a lot of like double TEs. I think what do they call it? What do you guys call on defense? Exit stunt.
Oh yeah. Exit. Two guys, exit stunts.
Yeah. Two guys rush in inside and one guy loops around. Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Get ready for those. And yeah. And that's a great example of where offensive line and DB play are very similar. It's match coverage. I mean, it's the same rules for the offensive line and just like how you do that, like sliding or zone coverage, I should say, and sliding over and bumping over and everything. So I think that's what we're going to see a lot of that action. To top it off, if they do a lot of that action, Rams defense 28th in scramble EPA in the second half of the season. Darnold hasn't really run a ton this year, but that's always a part of his game. He is a great athlete. He's one of the best throwers on the move, like period, in the NFL, especially to his left. So maybe a little bit of movement from him. Avoided pass or avoided scramble lane or pass rush lane, and he can get out of the pocket.
Crazy throwback. Because like when we were talking about the stunts, I don't know if every defense does it, but I think a lot of defense call them like pirate stunts, like where you one outside and are audible for that if we were in like late, you know, late second or like late half, late game, or obviously passing downs. No, Johnny Depp, Pirates of the Caribbean. You know,
okay,
Johnny. Look
at you guys on defense getting all creative.
Yeah,
look at that one. I'll come over. There's been some. There's some like code names I wish I could explain, but I like my job.
Yeah, some you got to keep in the past. Some you really got to keep in the past.
Got to keep in the past. Keep them in the QB room. Keep them in the DB room. Never bring them up again. Nope. But yeah, no, there's some fun ones, though, that are a little more PG. And we get there, I'll probably think of some before the show wraps up. The last little thing, 21 personnel from the Seahawks. They've been getting more into it, and the Rams aren't great against that, especially against the pass, which makes sense, too. Five across, you can kind of attack leverage of the linebackers as well. That was the last thing I want to throw in there. All right. Predictions. Again, the spread 2.5, so Vegas is viewing this fairly even.
It's tough. I think I'm gonna flip on my bracket and go with Seattle here. I just watching their defense, man. It's so overwhelming. I don't even know like how much I fear like Stafford having one of these games again. But I just can't like get the image of like just how bad they beat up the 49ers two times in a month. And then I even like just kind of skimmed through the Panthers game again. Man, like just tossing dudes out the club, like hitting people with axes everywhere. It's kind of such a visceral image. I gotta keep riding that high. So I'm gonna go with the Seahawks and the box office defense.
I really have no idea. I have nothing written down what I was predicting here. I've gone back and forth on this a million times. Like even rewatching week 16, I was like, oh yeah, this game was like all the Rams. And then the fourth quarter happened and then the Seahawks clawed back. All the big plays, a lot of corner routes. So look for corner routes from the Seahawks. I had the Rams the whole way. Rams were a team basically since first month. I was like, this is probably the Super Bowl favorite. I'm with you. I'm going with the Seahawks as well. At home, special teams advantage. Have to bring that up. Obligated to bring that up because the Seahawks have a significant special teams advantage in this game. Yeah, I'm going to go with the Seahawks. I didn't think I was even – I actually had no idea which way I was going to go, but I just wanted to talk this out and figure it out. But, yeah, Seahawks, and which should be in a great, great game. But at home, that's kind of just what I'm leaning on. Just leaning on that defense. That defense is like an all-time defense. It's one of the best I've seen, at least since I've been in media. I'm trying to think back when I was a kid or when I was in the league or something like that. But it's one of the better defenses. I mean, the Broncos in the mid-2010s was probably the best defense I've kind of like really scouted and looked at. You know, there's no fly zone, the Legion of Boom Seahawks. But this one's up there, man. The early 2000s Ravens, early 2000s Bucks. I'm trying to think of some other banger defenses, but this one's up there.
And it's up there.
Yeah, I'm going to. Yeah, the Rams offense is amazing. Seahawks defense is amazing. It's going to be an awesome game. I'm going to with the Seahawks, but that is not willingly. That's just because I have to predict something here. All right, we're going to take our last break, and we'll come back with a couple quick Hail Marys. See you guys in a sec. We're back. You know, we went a nice 40 juicy minutes on those two games, so let's just wrap it up with some Hail Marys. This is where we throw up a prayer of a prediction. I've got two this season. I've been on a lull. I haven't been very creative with these either. Chuck has three, but we're giving him a four in spirit because he said 49ers would get skunked, and they did get skunked like kind of spiritually last weekend. Skunked. So I'm giving you that one. We'll call it 3.5. We'll call that one 3.5. But Chuck, Hail Mary for the conference championship weekend. What do you got?
I don't remember which. I know I've used something in this vein before with this player, and I don't remember which week it was, but I'm going back to the Kenneth Walker well. Mm. And my prediction this week for him is he has at least a play over 40 yards. I think, you know, when it's lined up for him and he can get into the open space, I think he's got a big, like, physical advantage over, like, the back seven of the Rams defense. So, you know, like we've talked to is Kenneth Walker the cleanest player ever? No. But do you want to keep giving him the ball? Kind of, because one time he might break one loose, and that's going to put us in the red zone where we
can convert. Box of chocolate running back.
Yeah.
Never know what you're going to get.
Never know what you're going to get. You know, one of them's going to taste really good at some point.
A little caramel in the middle, we're good. Especially
with Charbonnet out, he's probably going to get a few more touches, and he's going to break one. I think his longest is going to be 40 or 50 yards,
like that. He had a big screen in week 16, which is also another thing. I liked how you said it. It's like the Rams, I mean, they get the most of it, but they're not overly big and they're not very fast. Like their linebacker, their spine isn't very fast, and then their corners aren't very big. And so it's like, all right, how do you take advantage of it? All right, well, if I have the Bears receivers or Panthers receivers, I dunk on the corners. And then if I have speed, we attack them with speed. So I like that one. You know, so maybe just a throwback screen or some gain of 40 more yards. I also am in the same game. And this isn't very original because this is exactly how week 16 went. But I think the Seahawks and Rams are going to go to overtime again. I think this is going to be another overtime battle. We're going to see that fifth quarter happen again. And this will close out conference championship weekend. I'm so stoked for both of these games, but that game, I think I'm so glad we get a third matchup between those two teams. I think all year, they're the two teams I've had the most confidence in essentially since week 4, give or take. I've seen some stuff. I was trying to find a clip, and I remember you and I talking about it after like week 4 or 5 on a Sunday show. I'm going like, where do we stack up the Seahawks? And we're like, yeah, probably like a top 3 team in the NFC or top 4. So since then, really. And also, Football 301 went 3 for 3 with our Seahawks predictions to win this division. So ha, ha, ha. Way to go, football 301. But I think this game will go to overtime. It's going to be an absolute banger. I cannot wait. And we're closing it out today. Chuck and I will be back with Matt for a three-man weave. Three people to cover two games. That'll be awesome. We'll be back Sunday night after that Seahawks-Rams brouhaha. So come join us as we react to that. Check us out on YouTube, on the Yahoo Sports YouTube channel. You can watch that. But I am Nate Tice. You can find me at Nate_Tice. That is Charles McDonald. You can find him at Four Verts on social media. Subscribe to us. Follow us. Rate us. 5 stars, wherever you get your podcasts. Or watch us on YouTube, like I said, on the Yahoo Sports YouTube channel. You can check out this show. Can check out clips. We got a bunch of other shows on Yahoo. Also, check out the Sunday night live show with me, Chuck, and Matt. Thanks to Stone, Austin Madison behind the scenes for making us look and sound good. Thank you all for listening. Have a great weekend. See you guys next time.